two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by Trax Power Sports. 2 hours of stories and information on hunting, fishing, and high adventure. Our host is Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back. Hour number two and the final one, as always, for another week of KSL Outdoors Radio. It's great to have you with us. Coming up in this half hour, we're going to reconnect with Bob and Mark. And we'll find out what Bob is up to today. He's back out with Adam Eagle, I do believe, at Lake Powell, but we'll find out for sure. Mark's also going to be tagging along, at least on the air. I don't think he's with Bob right now down in at Lake Powell, but more on that coming up. Roger Eggett from Bear River Lodge will check in, and then Navi has agreed to give us one more couple of minutes anyway, Russell, to talk about his experiences on the Middle Fork. I meant to ask you last hour, too. You brought up our float gal, help me. That was headed to the Middle Fork, also with
Nancy Siemens.
Is she joining us? Do you know that? That's not this week. That'll be next week or sometime soon.
I believe it'll be next week. Yeah.
All right. Look forward to it because she's got a Sky Call phone with her too.
Yeah.
Russ, by the way, if you're just joining us and weren't here for the first hour, is up in Big Sky Country getting things ready for a little ring ceremony for Miss Megan, so we send our congratulations up there.
Yeah, maybe we'll have her on with us next week, huh?
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be fun, though. You've told me a little bit about the area, and you mentioned geographically where you are. People are looking at a map, although my guess is when you say Laurel, a lot of people probably don't know Laurel either. Is there a bigger town that people might be familiar with to get a bead on where you're at?
Well, Billings. We're not that far from Billings either. Billings is just a little further than Laurel. This is right off of the 212 highway. Now, that doesn't mean anything to you yet, but that's the highway that goes up to Beartooth Pass, Red Lodge and Beartooth Pass and all that. It's been a while since we've been on that. I didn't recognize it. But, a lot of the stuff we've been on, just quickly we've been on it, you know, on motorcycles or whatever.
Yeah. Here's my suggestion. Don't try and take Beartooth in the motorhome. That would be a bad idea.
Nah, I got the Jeep with me. I was towing the Jeep.
Okay.
So I've got that to go play in.
All right, that's good.
Yeah.
Are you seriously sitting on a mountaintop right now, or are you indoors somewhere?
We're pretty there are a couple of ridges higher than we are, but I'm sitting in the motorhome right now.
Very nice.
Yeah, I got it all set up to hang out here when it gets hot.
The mobile Sky Call studios. I love it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Hey, I want to shift gears here and talk about National Shooting Sports Month. Raylene Takeda is the Hunter Education Coordinator for the Division of Wildlife Resources and joins us from time to time. Raylene, thanks for your time today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Tell me about National Shooting Month. Obviously, this is more than just in Utah, although we'll focus on some things that are coming up. It sort of dovetails into hunters, I'm going to guess anyway, getting themselves ready for the fall hunts.
Correct, yeah. So August is National Shooting Sports Month. So all states pretty much participate. But here in Utah, we do have, you know, the two shooting ranges that are owned by the division, one here in Salt Lake and then one up in Cache County.
I asked before we jumped on if this included archery, and I guess it does, whether you're going to shoot a bow or a rifle, right?
Right.
Yeah, to get yourself all sighted in. Here's the other thing, and in our first half hour in our News of the Week segment, we were mentioning this heat and how it's affecting so many of the things we do outdoors. One of the reasons for encouraging people to go to an enclosed, controlled environment like a shooting range right now is because target shooting in this heat could lead to all kinds of problems with fires.
All kinds of problems. We've had in the past many wildfires were started from people out target shooting. A ricochet hits some rocks, you get the sparks, and off it goes.
Yeah, Russ, you've had a lot of experience, speaking of Megan, with taking the girls and your son out to shoot from the time they were tiny.
We like to shoot in a range out in the desert, and it's in an area where it's a hollow kind of an area where you have nothing you're going to hit except bare ground and rocks. And so fire-wise, it's very safe. And safety-wise, there's no one else there, and we really have a lot of fun setting up targets and setting up scenarios, and it's just a great way to go. But I'll tell you, a range, and right now an indoor range would really be nice.
Yeah. I was just thinking while Raylynn was talking, though, the memories that you've shared and your kids have shared with me about, those times with you when they were younger is fantastic.
Yeah, a lot of stuff I can't talk about on air, we really had some great times, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so if people want to get out and sight in, maybe they've got a new firearm for the hunt season, which is coming up, Raylynn, or maybe they want to try archery for the first time.
Yeah.
Walk us through some of these things that are going to be out there to do both, but also have an enjoyable day.
So if you're here in Salt Lake and you're going to be headed out to Lee Cay, all through the month of August, they're going to have different things. So like on August 5th, all visitors that come and shoot at the archery range, it'll be free that day on the archery range.
Wow.
So if you want to try your archery, that's a great place. August 12th, all visitors are going to be able to shoot on our big bore ranges. That's the 100, 200, and 300-yard ranges for free. And then on August 19th, they'll be able to shoot on the 25 and 75 and handgun ranges for free. Hmm. And then on August 26th, those that have wanted to try shotgun, they'll be able to shoot one round free on the shotgun range. So
nice.
A lot going on in August. Also, our Cache Valley range are going to have different specials and activities going on all through the month also.
Here's the thing about Lee Cay Public Shooting Range. I make the mistake sometimes when we're leading up to these conversations of assuming that, or maybe presenting it in a way that would make people presume that you have to be a hunter to do these things. I find skeet shooting and trap shooting just to be so enjoyable. And actually, there's some amazing competitions that take place if you get good at it, Raylynn, all over the country, all over the world, really.
All over the world, yes. And we actually have leagues that happen out there at Lee Cay. I want to say they shoot Wednesday nights. I can't even remember. Maybe it's Thursday. But they have a league going on. Cache Valley also has a league on their shotgun range. So if people want to get involved, and just they may never hunt. It could be all target shooting, and we've got all that there.
That would be cool. And is it an individual thing or a team thing?
Either or. If you have a team that you've put together, you can come and shoot as a team, or you can come and shoot as an individual.
Yeah. Russ, I don't know if you knew this, but there's also a dog training area out there at Lee Cay. Were you aware of that?
No, not at all. When did that happen?
Raylynn, what are the details of that for training your dog?
We've had that dog training area for quite a while. Years. I mean, I think pretty much since it's been open. The different clubs around the state hold different meets and tournaments and whatever they call them in the dog world out at Lee Cay quite often.
What is what is five stand shooting? I'm not familiar with that one.
It is a form of trap shooting. It's just, like the different way the birds come at you and locations that you stand to shoot.
Oh, all right. There's normally a charge. You know, we were talking about all the activities they can do free on any Saturday, I guess, August 5th, 12th, 19th, 26th. But even if you're going to pay to get in there, it's only a couple of bucks, isn't it?
For like the rifle and archery, it's $6 for the entire day. And then for kids, it's $3. Mm. And then shotgun range, the fees are listed on our website. They're different fees for the different ones.
Yeah, and I don't want to confuse anybody. I just wanted them to know that it's a really nominal fee for everybody to get out there and enjoy. Yeah. All right, I'm glad we talked about it. Leading into August, it is National Shooting Sports Month. Raylynn, thanks for your time today.
Well, thanks for having me. You guys have a great day. Yeah.
You too.
Thanks, Raylynn.
All right. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll check in with the boys, Bob and Mark. So stay with us. More of KSL Outdoors Radio right around the corner.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Well, Bob and Mark are back with us times two today. It's time to do a little road trip, and we'll find out where they are this week with Adam Eagle.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
They've been on the road just about every time I try and connect with them, actually, so it's always lucky to catch them when they're stopped somewhere. Bob is in Loa. Mark, I guess you're home or elsewhere today. I didn't even think to ask.
I'm home, but spent several days out around the Boulder Mountains and looking over the Henry Mountains last week, and so it's been a good time to get away, but good to be back.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about the Henrys, but Bob, I want to talk about where you were with Adam this week, and you're actually on your way home, I think, from that trip. You were down at Lake Powell.
Yeah, we came down to Tickaboo Lodge down North Lake Powell in the Bullfrog Basin area, and went out onto the lake one day and up into the Henrys the next, and had two really great days.
What's the water level like? We this past week had Jake Stone, who is one of our great clients and sponsors here at KSL. He's the man behind Zero Res Carpet Cleaning. He was actually on with us for a full hour from a houseboat out there in the middle somewhere, and he was saying, because they make this trip annually, that the water was still up 60-some feet from where they remember it a year ago.
Yeah, it was up, I think, got to 65 feet, and starting to lower now. It reaches peak a week or so ago, and now is starting to go down a little bit. But the main ramp at Bullfrog will probably stay open through the end of August, and they're hoping it'll get to the end of August. But the north ramp will be open throughout the season. I mean, you'll be able to launch every type of boat, houseboats, everything from the north ramp once the main ramp closes for the remainder of the season. And the water, you know, once you're on the lake, the water looked great this year. I mean, it's really noticeable from last year. But once you're on the lake, it doesn't feel any different than it has in the years when
exactly.
when the lake was much higher.
Yeah.
It just feels pretty much the same.
Yeah, and one of the magical things about being a Lake Powell is just how tall those cliffs are when you're sitting when you're sitting there, whether it's a giant houseboat or a smaller boat. It's just really impressive. All right, Henry Mountains, Mark, are known because of the herd of buffalo down there. It's one of two places. We focus on Antelope Island and some down there on the Henrys, but tell me about this, and I hope I say it right, Laccolith Formation. What's that?
Well, you know, it's a term that they've come up with to identify what essentially is a mountain created by magma or lava, and it's an uplift of that molten lava coming up out of the ground. And if you look at the Henry Mountains from any point on the compass, it stands out there in the middle of nowhere. It seems like, where did it come from? You know, and so the Henrys go up to over 11,500 feet. That's Mount Ellen's, the highest peak. Got several big peaks on the Henrys, and that buffalo herd is I think the only huntable free roaming herd of buffalo in the United States.
Hmm. Well, that view must be something from up there at Mount Ellen.
You know, when you're standing on top of there, you can see all points of the compass. You can see north to the San Rafael Swell. You can see off into almost to Colorado to the east. Look south, you're looking towards Tickaboo and Lake Powell. And over to the west, you got Boulder Mountain, Thousand Lakes Mountain. It's pretty amazing, all the points, all the things you can see from up there.
Yeah. All right, Bob, I'm going to guess you were spending some time down at Tickaboo, or at least in that area. How's business for those guys at Lake Powell?
Actually, they're having a really good year. You know, it's a dichotomy of seasons here. You know, last year, because all the news was negative about low water, they had a really bad summer season. This year, they're having a great season because it's all positive. You know, all the talk is good about water level, so they're having a great season now. It's a great time to come down because the lake is not busy. It's not busy. The weekends probably get a little busier than weekdays, but it's a great time to come down. It's such an enjoyable lake. We went out to a canyon on our trip where there's some dinosaur tracks that just cover this large rock that fell off the rim, just completely covered with it. It's an area we call Crapper Canyon because there's a floating outhouse.
Crapper
so
Canyon. I like it.
You have to try to figure out where that's at on your own.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just a wonderful time to be down at the lake. It's hot outside, so it's a great time to be in the water. But it's a good season. A lot of things coming up down the road with off-road events in this fall. So, you know, you just want to check them out at northlakepowell.com to see what's going on down there. But we also had a great day on the Henry Mountains. I was asking Mark if he'd been to a canyon we had explored. You know, and Adam knows the Henrys really well. He's done so much guiding. You know, he's an elk guide. He's done so much guiding in those mountains and hunting himself, but this was a canyon that he wasn't aware of as well, called Conundrum Canyon.
Oh, neat.
And this is an adventure. It's a very, very tight slot canyon. There's some bushwhacking at the bottom. There's a small creek that runs through it. And there were sections of it that were just barely wide enough to get through, a body through. There are a lot of water drops in it where you have to stem through it. And near the top is a wooden dam. So they had dammed up that water, we're guessing probably around the 1920s, to hold some of the water back for their needs. You know, there's a lot of camp mining camps up there, Eagle Ghost Town and several others for uranium and gold. And so we figured it was probably used for that. But one thing that's really neat about the Henry Mountains, it's full of history. Lots of old buildings and cabins and cellars and just you know, shafts. It's just such a area that has so much history in it.
Yeah, Mark, did you have something you wanted to add to that? Or?
Oh, no, the drainages that come off the Henry Mountains go in all directions, and there are slot canyons, and like Bob said, a huge amount of mining history up there that's fun to explore.
Yeah, the one thing I would add is it's amazing how much relief you can get from the temperatures just in one of those canyons. When you've got those big walls, it tends to really help because you're in the shade most of the day. Or at least that's the way I envision it, Bob. Maybe it's wider than that. I don't know.
No, you're in the shade most of the time, and you're actually walking in water in this particular canyon, so it's a great place to escape the heat.
Yeah. All right. We'll look forward to seeing you both and hearing more on Adam Eagle's program on Channel 5, KSL Outdoors on the TV side. And we'll direct everybody to your website, which is just Road Tripping with Bob and Mark. RoadTrippingWithBobAndMark.com. Got a break. When we come back, we'll talk. Navi's going to jump back on here with us, and we're going to talk more about his Middle Fork trip last week. Some more details of some of the mayhem. So stay with us.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.